Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
Joining us now is Gideon Hubert, who's an independent security consultant, editor of Paratus.info, which is a platform dedicated to security awareness and preparedness in South Africa. In a recent article, he writes, "You are always the first responder. He reminds us that in a crisis, whether it's crime, medical, or even a disaster, you are the one that must act first. No police or paramedics or armed response will reach before you do." But this conversation comes at a critical time in South Africa because there is a push to restrict legal use of firearms. We wanted to discuss all of this with Gideon. Gideon, good morning. Thank you for joining us. I'm hoping you're well.
Good morning, Howard. I'm very well, and I hope similarly you as well as all of your listeners are, and it's a pleasure to be back to speak to you again.
So this whole idea, certainly those of us that follow Israel news know that it's you know, the event of an incident such as a terror attack or crime, the fact that there is a highly trained civilian population means that your time to action from event to action is actually very, very low, thankfully. And that obviously saves lives in many ways. Is this the notion that you were arguing for in the recent article of yours?
That is absolutely correct. And I can even summarize it very shortly. And it's to encourage people to be active participants in their own rescue, right? And a big foundation of being effective at doing that is the trifecta of mindset first, as in you must have the correct mindset. We like calling it a combative mindset, but for a lot of people that sounds, you know, that it's a fighting mindset. That's not really it. The point of having a combative mindset is to be goal and action orientated with a positive outlook on facilitating change in time of crisis. And then dipping into the second thing is your knowledge and skills. So it's mindset first, then your knowledge and skills about what you are capable of doing, as well as understanding the limitations of your knowledge and skills. It is very much possible to make an already bad situation worse by getting involved in things you're not equipped to deal with, either by the tools you have on you or by your own knowledge and skill set. And then lastly, what carries the first two through and makes it possible for you to be effective is the tools that you have at your disposal. Myself, obviously being an independent security consultant, a large part of my tool focus would be on firearms, but that is not the only tool there is. We can refer to a tool as anything from a individual first aid kit or stop the bleed / trauma kit or a fire extinguisher that you have in your house. There's a myriad of things that would be applicable to these exact same three attributes, and you can carry those through to almost all aspects of your daily life.
So it's interesting what you say about recognizing as well what's real, what your limitations are. Our listeners will know that I've recognized that Krav Maga is not one of my skill set. It's never going to be part of my skill set. And therefore, I'm not really going into hand-to-hand combat at any time. But the point is that whatever you do engage with, whether it's first aid or a fire extinguisher or a firearm, you best be trained to use them.
Absolutely, because the lack of training, even if you have the right mindset and you have the right tools at your disposal, not understanding how to use those tools can also be disastrous, which is why you can't really be effective if you have one of these aspects and not any of the others. With regards to the South African context, we had a very great example recently of Ian Cameron and two of his colleagues being ambushed in the wrong side of Cape Town, being Philippi. And Ian, knowing him on a personal level, he has an incredibly good and appropriate mindset regarding these things. He is very, very sufficiently trained. And he was equipped at the time to deal with a problem like this. And in my opinion, he managed to save three innocent lives from a lot of trouble.
Right. Even though he's been, there's this there's trying to be a conversation about excessive force and how it was dealt with. Does that have any validity, or does that have any legs, that conversation?
So I don't think the excessive force part of the conversation has much validity, although there is an artificial proof to make it. So pardon my little neck. But there is an attempt at making the excessive force angle through very disingenuous politicking a thing, which, if you look at South African, the principles of private defense, we don't really have self-defense. There is no black and white section of the law that says, this is what you may do in self-defense. It's all a set of common law principles that have developed over a very long period of time. And essentially what it says, basic version, if your life or the life of any innocent third party is under imminent threat or ongoing attack, or you perceive it to be such, you can do anything you need to do in order to stop that attack, including using lethal force. It makes no differentiation between whether or not an assailant is armed or disarmed, because we also recognize that people can very easily be murdered by people that aren't necessarily armed with implements. Right. And just because a person isn't armed right now, there's no guarantee that he isn't going to be armed in 2 seconds, especially if he takes a weapon off you. So there's a very rational approach in South African common law regarding private defense. And unfortunately, a lot of Ian's detractors either don't know that, or they very deliberately and dishonestly ignore that.
Let's just talk about where South Africa is in terms of gun control, because this is a conversation that never really seems to go away.
No, it never does. It always comes back. The last time we had a big, almost national debate, for want of a better word, was the previous amendment or attempted amendments in 2021 that sought, amongst other things, to essentially ban ownership of firearms for purposes of self-defense in South Africa. And the public outcry was extensive at the time. It was so overwhelming that the government actually kind of took these amendments very quietly with their tails between their legs, slinked off into a dark corner and deposited them in, say, dark corner to go fester for another few years. But they are coming back. I haven't had any look at them, but just from stuff that permeates through, I'm getting the idea that we're just going to get the same stuff again and we're going to have to all reject them again.
It's quite phenomenal that considering the state of the police force and law enforcement in general, that this is even a consideration.
That is correct. And it's also that there's no secret as to what the issue of violence in South Africa is. And the big role player there is the huge security vacuum we have. In a country where you don't have law and order, or at least a highly dysfunctional application of said law and order, criminal chaos thrives. And criminals use violence when it's cheap and easy to do so to get what they want. And this demand for violence is what's driving criminal demand for firearms, which they seem to easily be getting from cross-border smugglers, corrupt police officers, stealing them off military bases right now seems to be the thing to do. And there's no shortage of these things. And I appreciate that people want to talk about disarming the criminals. Where we could actually start is actually just by fighting crime in general, which is a thing we are not effectively doing at all. I think the Jewish community in South Africa is perhaps at the tip of the spear here, but because you guys have the best organized community safety structures, I think, in the country by a long shot. The Jewish CSOs are a great template for how community safety should and could be done. And I don't think there's much I can tell your listeners about how important that structure is, especially when state institutions starts failing and retreating and this vacuum is left that is in most cases filled by very bad people.
And it's just quite laughable to think that a criminal will now be curtailed because he reads the new law that says he shouldn't carry a gun. What world are we living in? The problem is it's law-abiding people who maybe should be carrying arms that will be precluded from doing so. So I can't imagine that this is something. If there is one, as I say, we are heading towards the end of the show. If there's one step that every listener can take today, whether it's that mindset shift, a skill, learning a skill, a safety habit, what would you recommend?
I would recommend starting with mindset and skills straight off the bat. The first is to understand that your life and the lives of the people you care about have value, and it's up to you to make sure that they keep on breathing and being alive and thriving and happy and have a very positive attitude to even in the face of extreme adversity, doing what you can and to facilitate that. And the second is, there's always something about you that you can improve. You can be fitter than you are, and you don't have to be an Olympic athlete runner or a prize fighter. Just
or a
Krav Maga expert. Anything you do today, especially if you don't feel like doing it, just doing it for 5 or 10 or 15 minutes is better than not doing it at all. And just all of that compounds over time. So learn something new. Improve your physical resilience, because that's very important. And then if you really feel serious about personal safety and security, don't stop at – please do explore whether or not private firearm ownership is something you want to do and doing so responsibly. But don't stop there. Learn a first aid skill, because that's vital, especially if you live in a community of elderly people, that can be vital and save a life. Yes. Learn how to fight a basic house fire with a small portable fire extinguisher. Learn something that makes you hardier. And it's a self-perpetuating process, almost like a jet engine, because once you start pulling the thread out, this entire new world will open up and you are probably just going to get sucked down a very deep rabbit hole. And please don't blame me if that happens, but welcome to the club if you do.
That is where we leave it. Gideon Joubert, thank you. Awesome to chat to you. It is about to go 9 o'clock. It is time for me to love and to leave you. Go and have the best Thursday possible. Enjoy the magnificent weather. And we'll be back with you in studio tomorrow morning, 6 a.m. to 9 a.m. Don't be late.